Lord God, the light of the minds that know you, the life of the souls that love you, and the strength of the hearts that serve you, help us so to know you that we may truly love you, and so to love you that we may fully serve you, whom to serve is perfect freedom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. From what understanding I have of the history of St. John's Church, the most admired and beloved priest to have served here was the Reverend Zachary Vincent. The Reverend Vincent was vicar here for more than 8 years, beginning toward the end of World War II and extending into the early 1950s. Following his retirement from being vicar here in the church, the Reverend Vincent continued as superintendent of St. John's Hospital, which was then on the grounds here, for several more years. And the most significant way that Zach Vincent is remembered today, I believe, now over about 65 years later, is through the stained glass window in St. John's Chapel across the way here that is dedicated in his name. Some of you probably have never been in St. John's Chapel, and I hope you'll take time to do that. There are really some interesting, eclectic stained glass in there, but the one that really stands out for me is this one dedicated to Zach Vincent. The window depicts Jesus welcoming the children, which is our gospel text for this Sunday. And I don't know a better way that the Reverend Vincent could be honored and remembered would be in this way, welcoming and blessing the children by Jesus, and in a sense, reflecting back to Reverend Vincent's welcoming of children to the church. As profound as the way Jesus honored women in his ministry was the revolutionary way that he elevated children throughout his ministry. The common attitude toward children at the time of Jesus was that they were basically a nuisance until they were old enough to be productive. And we kind of get a glimpse of this in the attitude of the disciples in the lesson today. Jesus is really preaching this very heavy sermon on marriage and divorce, and these kids are coming up to him, and the disciples are trying to hush him away and get him out of the way. And in contrast to their attitude, we hear Jesus declaring, "Guys, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And then Jesus follows by saying something to the adults gathered about him that I think is even more revolutionary. "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Wow. This morning I want to reflect a bit on the ways the church, the Christian church through history, has responded to this challenge by Jesus to welcome the children. And also, I want to reflect a bit on how we as adults respond to Jesus as children through our journey of faith. First, our challenge as the church to welcome children following the example of Jesus. Well, from the very earliest times, the church has answered this challenge through the sacrament of holy baptism. It's quite revolutionary that children should be baptized at the very earliest of age and brought into the full membership of the church family, the covenant community of Christ. So from the very earliest age, they're welcomed in that way. In time, the sacrament of confirmation was administered at, say age 13 or so, and served to admit adolescent young people to the Holy Communion, as well as to various other privileges and responsibilities of church membership, another way that the church sought to follow Jesus' admonition. A little over 200 years ago, the Sunday school movement began. Children came to know Jesus through Bible stories and classroom instructions for an hour or so on Sunday mornings. By the 20th century and into the 20th century, churches began to add very handsome education wings to their facilities with classrooms, and to enrich the Sunday school program with music and creative learning activities. I remember when open classrooms and learning centers were introduced into children's education. But then in the years following World War II, the Christian educators began to recognize the importance of worship in the process of Christian formation. When I was a kid, I remember going to Sunday school and then beating it for home after Sunday school was over. I don't remember setting a foot inside a worship service very often. But the educators were saying, if we are truly to welcome children to come to Jesus and not hinder them, it makes sense that we should welcome them to worship and not just to Sunday school. And so by 1950, 9 a.m. family services were added to the traditional schedule of 8 and 11 o'clock services on Sunday mornings. And this began here about 1953 at St. John's. And most often this middle 9 o'clock service for parents and children would be a morning prayer service with a short sermon that was directed especially toward the children and maybe some other appropriate music for the children, and then they'd be off to Sunday school. In the early 1970s, it was again recognized that opening the way of children to come to Jesus called for admission to Holy Eucharist at an earlier age. It was in my time, when you were confirmed at 13, you were welcome to the Eucharist. But it was thought, that is really too late. The church awoke to a realization that Holy Communion was not something that kids graduated to by learning lots of stuff, but Holy Communion was an essential part of the learning process itself in coming to know Jesus Christ. And so in many places here in St. John's, First Communion classes were introduced for children of elementary age, as soon as kids were old enough to read, and first and sometimes first and often second grade. And these were integrated into the 9 o'clock service. Well, from the 1950s on, more and more opportunities for youth and children to connect with Jesus were offered. Summer church camps, I still remember the one that I attended in 1951, which was very formative in my life and development as a Christian. Retreats were introduced for kids, lock-ins, and if you never had the privilege of being a parent supervision at a lock-in with junior high kids, you've missed the opportunity of a lifetime. Mission trips for kids, summer Bible schools, children's chapels, and did I mention Christmas pageants? But along with this multiplication of opportunities, something else was multiplying even more quickly. Increasingly, sports and school activities and other secular activities were absorbing all the time and energy available to families. And to make a long story short, the Sunday school model in many places was no longer feasible. You couldn't get enough kids together, even if you had 100, 150 on the rolls, to get enough together for classes on a Sunday morning was almost impossible. And Sunday itself became increasingly a hit and miss proposition for many Christian families. I remember here, the kind of one of the death knells was when the ice rink up at Snow King was opened to children for hockey practice on Sunday mornings. I think it started at 5 a.m. and went to 10. Try to integrate that into Sunday morning. Wow. Well, the question that leaves us is, what happens then when it's no longer the church putting obstacles in the way of children who would come to Jesus, but more likely the culture and our own lifestyles? What happens then? What happens is that When the models no longer work, we change the models. We experiment with new ones, new ways of bringing children to Jesus. And that's what I've seen happening here at St. John's Church over the past decade and a half. Instead of Sunday school, which has not been feasible here for quite a long time, by lacking a critical mass of kids to make it work, we have all the offerings that you read about in the Revelations newsletter. I get bewildered just trying to go through them all, but the kindergarten through second grade gatherings every month, the Club 3, 4, 5, the older elementary youth group, and for a number of years meeting it Bubba breakfast at 7:30 in the morning, if you can imagine kids doing that. And let's see, Imagination Station, which you read about in your bulletin today, your newsletter. And I'm especially intrigued by the Big Questions gathering for high school kids, an interdenominational program that'll begin next month, dealing with faith questions now that kids are reaching that cognitive level where they're beginning to ask tough questions about their faith and looking for answers. The thing is that for these kinds of things to work, it takes more than just a paid staff person. We're lucky to have paid staff persons here at St. John's, but it's not enough. Parents have got to be engaged. And not just parents. All of us who attend a baptism service usually agree at that point of the service to vow to do all in our power to support each child being baptized in his or her life in Christ. We all need to be engaged in some way. And right now, we've, since last summer, been doing dreaming about the future of St. John's, and we need to include dreams and visions about our ministry with children and youth. Well, this brings me to the overall goal for all these models and all these programs for connecting children with Jesus. And that goal, expressed at least in one way, is the initiation of a lifelong process by which we all mature sufficiently to come to Jesus as children. Put in another way, the goal of Christian formation for all of us is growth from childishness to childlikeness in our relationship with God. Childishness is to remain stuck in some stage of our faith relationship that was appropriate early in our lives, but no longer works for us. Childlikeness is to grow out of a state of dependency in our faith and grow into a state of personal ownership of our faith, all the while recovering that childlike trust that we had in Christ when we were at the very beginning of our lives. The goal of a developing faith, then, is to grow out of the infancy stage of faith, where Jesus is kind of a security blanket. It's good for age 2, it's absolutely essential for age 4, but not so much for age 34. The goal of a developing state of faith is to grow out of that imitative stage that we go through in early childhood, which we're copying the patterns set by our parents and other role models. It's very appropriate and necessary for age 7 or so, but very inadequate if you're 57 relying on that. The goal of a developing faith is to face up to and work through that very essential questioning stage of our faith that you should have taken place somewhere between ages 14 or to 30 or you name it. But other things maybe got in the way, and we never got those questions answered. It's left us trying to deal with complex faith issues as adults with an adolescent or even pre-adolescent grasp of who Jesus is. Don't get me wrong, we're always asking questions. I'm just talking about those questions that create a barrier in our relationship with God. The goal of a developing faith, then, is to open ourselves whatever age it may be, whenever it may be, to that conversion experience. When Jesus breaks through our mindset and becomes truly real and personal to us. Kind of reminds me of the old days when Jack Hyler would be leading the Apostles' Creed at morning prayer service up at the Chapel of the Transfiguration. You know, Jack always had a little mini sermon before he'd enter into the part of the service that he was leading. And before the creed, I remember he'd say time and again something to this effect. Say, now we don't want to just be mumbling words when we recite this. I want you to say it because you believe it. Not, I believe in God the Father Almighty, but I believe. And the congregation would just make that chapel rock. And Jack was very compelling with that. I can't quite do it the way he did it. And so as we grow in the knowledge and love of God, in this stage of personal, owned faith, we arrive where we began, with a childlike faith and trust in Christ. Receiving the kingdom of God like a child and entering it. And it all begins with how we, in the name of Jesus, welcome our children as we were welcomed into the loving presence and blessing of the Christ who dwells among us. Thanks be to God. I'd like to close with a prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you've blessed us with the joy and care of children. Give us calm strength and patient wisdom as we bring them up, that by what we teach and, most importantly, what we model, Christ may be formed within them. And as we let the little children come to Jesus, grant that we all may enter your kingdom as little children, with hearts filled with childlike trust and joyful exuberance, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.